The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Talca Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. And as always, we are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts. Ben, I'm upbeat. I'm happy. I'm in a good place at the moment. I've just been fed. I'm relaxing. And I'm glad that that weekend is finally behind us. This is going to be probably a different humour to podcast to what we usually have. But look, we're going to do our best as always to be honest and fair. But Ben, how are you? I know your Tuesday is going very, very well. Do you want to tell the people why?
Yeah, hello, Duty. I'm doing great. I've obviously the day job has gone well today. Coaching senior football, the senior boys managed to pull out a win in the Shield final, so we went home with a bit of silverware today. You know, not quite as exciting as the League of Ireland trophy, but it was a good one to have. So I've had a good Tuesday. I can't really complain.
Is it an actual shield? Like, it's a proper wooden old school shield?
Oh, it's a proper wooden old school shield with the competition logo and the school's names all engraved and the year they won it around it.
It's magic. Proper old school stuff.
Proper old school stuff. Like, I was absolutely delighted getting it. I was like, well, that's me going straight to the engravers to get that sorted.
Your budding managerial career, huh? It's all downhill from there. That's what I would say. It will all end up in misery eventually. Look, obviously on the men's front, it was a disappointing weekend. Obviously in the middle of those two games, another fantastic result for Owen Whirran's team. We'll get to that. We'll get to last night. Last night, of course, being Monday, the draw. I was about to say defeat against Drogheda because that's kind of what it felt like. But points picked up. But look, let's just jump straight to Friday. Let's get it out of the way. It was a weird game. I think it was just, that game's just never enjoyable. I think pretty much everyone agrees with that. And just the second red card killed the whole thing, didn't it, really?
Yeah, I think you pretty much summed it up as well as anyone could. Daily Mail's just a weird energy. Like, the place is just weird. I don't know what it is. Like, it's just, it's never a good place to go. Just because it's full of people. I don't know. I felt like I wasn't entirely disappointed in the game up until the second red, because you feel like even with the 10, I actually feel like we actually played quite well and there was actually chances in the game for us, and then the second one just kills it off, doesn't it?
It did. It just, look, the first one, obviously, Mark's red. Look, it was a definite red. It, like, gone by letter of the law, he didn't attempt to kind of play the ball. It is a red. It's an unfortunate one. It's kind of just copy and paste the type of goal that we are giving away. But as you said, I thought with 10 men, we still looked really good. We looked like we were going to make something happen. We both kept saying it to each other, like, these will give you something. And they did. And we just...
But the amount
we had, obviously, just go on.
I was going to say, the amount of times I turned to you and said, there's a chance. There's a chance. There's a chance. And it's like...
It felt that way, didn't it? Like, I know Meepo kind of blazed over just before half-time, and you're going, oh, that's going to come back and end up biting us badly. My main probably positive I took from Friday was that Conor Cairns looked back to his old self, pulled off a couple of brilliant saves. Obviously, we'll come to Conor from Monday night shortly, but look, I'm not one for referee bashing, Ben.
That's your world famous line, but...
And look, to be totally honest, if I read out some of the stuff that was sent in about the referee on Friday, we'd probably end up in court. So I'm not going to read out kind of any specifics. Anyone that did send in stuff, you can probably understand now with a more reasonable head why I can't read stuff out, but... He just didn't have a very good game, really, did he, the referee?
No. I just think there was a few bizarre decisions that you shake your head at. The second yellow for Ali being one of them. And I think one thing that really what annoys me most about it is, for the most part, I actually think he's a good referee. Like, I think he would be up there with one of the better referees. So to have a game as poor as that, like, there's so many things where I was left scratching my head, like watching back the replay of the penalty incident where he takes the yellow out straight away and walks over and then gets crowded by a few players and then changes to red. Look, obviously he could be communicating with...
Yeah, I think we kind of had couldn't have called it a row. Look, the old thing, I generally don't tend to talk to you in the immediate kind of aftermath of a game, because...
Yeah, it's not a great look.
No, like, tempers are usually high and all the rest of it, but I know a lot of people have come out with that, you know, he had the yellow in his hand and the ball players are getting onto him. Like, I do know a lot of the time that can be, as you've said, like, it can be the linesman or the fourth official, whatever, in his ears,
if you're ever
kind of giving him a different...
If you're ever close to a fourth official, you do actually hear it. It can be simple as, like, they're just saying red, 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 red. Like, they can literally say a colour.
And yeah,
that's enough to communicate. So I can understand that it could have been a communication thing there, but it's not a great look.
Like, I'm not going to go into the whole... People are coming out with wild shit, I have to be honest. I'm glad you said it and I didn't, because I'm always the one that gets the, oh, he's sticking up for referees, but he probably is, if not, he's definitely in the top two referees in the league. I just think he had a bad night at the office, which, look, it can happen. It's just a pity we were on the wrong end of it. We also had... We were sitting in that fucking garden shed, basically, down at the corner flag, because nobody wants to sit in the Jody, as we've seen. We turned around at one stage, Ben, and, like, there was a very, very strong back tree.
Yeah,
sitting in that area.
That's
like your Paddy Barrett, Lewis Temple and Sam Bowen.
Yeah, that's what I said to you. I was like,
yeah,
imagine we went out with that back three.
I think, like, again, manager mentioned it last night in his post-match, as he always does. It's not an excuse. Like, we don't make excuses, but we're just missing so many bodies. And look, obviously Mark's sending off then, obviously, comes at a really bad time. Gano got his 50 yellow of the season last night, so he's gone for Friday as well, I believe.
It's just a bit mad that three of your first team centre-halves are all out at the same time. Like, that's... If you have no luck, you have bad luck, and that is the worst of the luck. Like, we've talked about it a lot this season, especially. Teams seem to get the rub of the green against us. They do get that little bit of luck. And look, to be fair, a lot of the time we were gifting it to them, but we just haven't got that luck this year. whether it's chances falling to second balls, injuries, it just seems that there's something there going against us.
It does. But do you know what I think has happened as well? Like at the start, like with Coyler in as one of the centre backs, and like he'd done really, really well. Like we were singing his praises here, and rightfully so, for him just slotting in. But I think the longer it goes on, teams will look to exploit it.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on Coyler or Tyreek or Cam or Gano or anyone who's ended up kind of playing out of position. It's just, that's kind of the way it goes. And I think there's been a bit of that the last few weeks. Having said that, by no means have we been getting carved open left, right and centre by teams, which I think is important to kind of recognise as well. Like another clean sheet last night. So it's just bodies. I just thought it's really frustrating. It's a killer at the minute. Look, we had that bit of pressure in Daily Mount on Friday, kind of those last couple of minutes, down to 9 men. It was proper, just throw caution to the wind, get the thing in there. And Bowles did look a little bit frazzled by it. I think there was a definite sense of panic. Like those kind of moments at the end of the game in Daily Mount, I think they're the type of moments that last year we find a goal there.
Yeah.
And it's starting to feel a little bit like, I don't know whether it's pressure or whether it's teams setting up differently, but it's just not quite happening. Like, players look like they're playing with the weight of the world on their shoulders or something. I don't know. That's a bit of a cliche, I know, but do you think everyone just looks under a lot of pressure? And I don't think that's coming from internally. I think it's just probably the burden of playing for the champions.
Yeah, I don't really know what it is. I think there is a little bit of a sense of the a raw vulnerability in the side, like where it's just the script is kind of flipped now. You're out there, you're champions, you're dominating games. And I just think with everything going against you, I think it would be very easy to kind of have that little bit of doubt when confidence is knocked. Like, you can kind of see it sometimes where it's like, there'll be points of last season where when a player cuts in, you know, a shot's coming, now it's just, okay, we'll be safe again. It is, I think, just one of those things where when that confidence comes back and that ability, you will see players that have that X factor that will go on and they'll take games by the scruff. And they will just, I think that little bit of uncertainty will be out of the team then.
I think so. Yeah, I would think so. Look, we move on to Monday. Obviously, the draw with Drogheda. I was talking to a couple of people after the game and was kind of saying, we just look like we're missing a bit of a spark, a bit of a, just something. But then, again, it's coming back to the players that would usually give you that. The likes of a Coyler will always give you, whether it's a tackle or one of those runs he goes on. Paddy Barrett, similar. He'd pick out a 40-yarder or he'd win a big header and it gets everyone up. Or a Boydie, who is generally just a bit of a bastard on the football pitch and people row in behind that. Any team is going to struggle with out characters like that. I don't care what anyone says. And there was a bit of a feel of it, I thought, but on Monday where you're kind of looking around going,
yeah,
where's this going to, you know, where's the bit of something coming from? And again, it's not a knock on the players that are playing, but sometimes you do need, and I think in fairness, John O'Sullivan brought a bit of it when he came on, of just, right, come on, let's fucking get going here.
Yeah, there was a real, I think, with John O'Sullivan in recent games when he has come on, a real sense of urgency of just like, come on, let's do this. There's no crisis of confidence there. He's obviously backing himself very highly, and I think if you could package that and give it to everyone else, be great. There is just, as you said, with the bodies missing, it's not just about the ability of the player. I think it is the character as well. Like, you have a character of a Paddy Barrett, and that's not a knock on anyone that's in the squad. Or even like, Coyler was a big loss, as you said. Boydie, like, that's, they're big characters in the group. They're big leaders. They're big voices.
It's, like, I just, I've never been so, look, I haven't got a chance to watch Monday's game back yet in full, but I've never been so puzzled.
Could you just,
you're just looking at, and you're just going, like, my immediate thought after the game last night was, geez, we were shy. That was my immediate thought. But as I was, like, I was thinking about it today and working on it, and I was going, I don't actually think we were terrible. Like, I really don't. It just
didn't click.
No, it just doesn't seem to be happening. Yeah, it's not clicking. It's not happening. It's true, no lack of effort. Like, a few people got into the question box there, calling players lazy and stuff. I just don't accept that.
No, because, like,
I don't believe there's laziness in anybody, because they just wouldn't be here if that was the case.
I think that's a very easy cop out to say, someone's lazy.
Yeah, it's like, there's,
like, I'm respectfully to anyone of the opinion of people are being lazy. You've seen where that kind of gets you with the manager and the staff. Like, he has no problems making changes, whether that's 60, 70 minutes into a game or 30. If he feels like someone is out there and they're not given 100%, he has no problem taking them off. And he's shown that an awful lot.
Look, we'll just address it head on. The question box was packed with Meepo stuff. And look, it wouldn't be fair to come on here and just not talk about Meepo, because it's all anyone kind of seemed to want to talk about. Like, I'm really torn on this, because I'd love to be able to see the distance that Meepo covers in a game.
Yeah.
Because he does an awful lot of running. A lot of it is just donkey work. Like, it's shit. And nobody wants to do it, but it has to be done anyway. Like, closing off bits of space and stuff. Dire stuff. Like, nobody wants to be doing that. It's soul-destroying stuff. But he does it. And he's obviously doing it because, as you said, he'd be hooked by now.
Yeah.
He'd be sitting on the bench never playing if that was the case.
Like,
now,
the manager said it before. He said, if people are going to leave minutes out there, they may as well be sitting beside him on the bench, because there's no point in being out there.
Yeah, and there's other managers, I think, who there's so much fanfare around Meepo when he came in, and I think us as supporters were the worst people for feeding into that. But the manager's not the type that will, and some managers will do it, they'll stick with a big name signing just because, like, he came in with so much around him, I need to play him to kind of justify why I signed him. Duffer's just not like that. He's not the type. Like, he's no problem before with signings and kind of saying, right, this hasn't really worked. Like, he's just not really going to play. The likes of A. Dervin had probably come to mind with that, where he came in, a lot of people expecting big things, and he just kind of found himself out the door. But has it clicked for Meepo football-wise? No. It definitely hasn't. But what I would say is, he's still made massive contributions while he's been nowhere near as best. And I think, like, 4-17, it's not a fantastic return, but it is a return. And I don't think you're going to get anywhere by giving people stick. I just don't think it ever works, especially now. Like, back in the day, maybe might have got a reaction out of a player, but, like, some of the stuff I was listening to last night, I'm going, oh, seriously, why? Do you really think that's going to help? I don't get it. I think sometimes Meepo's demeanour can kind of, not put people off, but, like, he's frustrated, same way as anyone. But just because if Mark Hoyle or Paddy Barrett or John O'Sullivan are frustrated, they'll run into somebody or they'll upend somebody. Like, Meepo's just not that type. And I think he gets his frustrations out in other ways, which bothers people. But stick with the fella. Like, we've seen glimpses of serious stuff. I do think if we just stick with him, give him a bit of love, We'll get there. I know I've ranted on there.
No, but
probably
I...
probably not saying anything coherent, but...
agree. I think... again, I think you've hit the nail on the head where it's just people aren't really seeing the grunt work that he does. And you have to remember, the best we've seen in Meepo has been with Sean Boyd up front with him.
Yes, he, correct.
He also said that when you interviewed him post-match in Waterford. Like, that was a budding partnership. That was... something he was, you could see the happiness in his face when he spoke about it. Like, yeah, I'm really happy to be here. Great link up with Boydie, great relationship, just starting. And that was just kind of pulled out from under him. Then it's a new role. He's a lone striker with a box midfield behind them. But people see four goals and they're like, oh yeah, it's not good enough. Okay, well, Michael Duffy has 5. Graham Bork has 6. Podge Amond, I think, has 5. I think our top scorer has 8 goals. So, like, if he was 15 goals behind and he scored 2, I'd be very, very worried. But the best is to come from Meepo, I believe. I don't think we've seen it. I think we will see it. And I think that'll come with getting bodies back on the pitch.
You've said that there about... like, he's playing as a lone striker. He's not a lone striker. Like, I mean, that's fairly obvious to everyone, but it's just the way things have kind of panned out and fallen that he just kind of has to be done. And it, like, I know people are getting at him for like not winning headers and stuff like that, but he's not that type of player. He's just not. Like, then I'm sure, look, does the criticism then come of, well, then why are we putting the ball in the air towards him? Like, sometimes it just has to be done. You can't...
I mean, if
you watch... always pick and choose, like, what way you want to play the game. And teams, I do think, are forcing us into that now. They're going high, they're getting after us, making us have to kick it, knowing quite well that, like, Meepo's number one attribute is definitely not his heading ability, I wouldn't have said. But again, last night, he's up there against Conor Keighley. It's not many players going to win a lot of headers against Conor Keighley.
Like, what's he, 6'7", mountain of a man. Not really easy to beat in the air. Like, dude, we kind of heard it firsthand. We saw firsthand. We spent the night just sitting in the stand, actually watching the game from it.
Like normal people.
Probably a better vantage point and where you could see a bit more. But, like, I don't know what it is and I don't know why it just seems to be Meepo, but he's the only one that seems to get the most stick. And I think it's probably just because he's your striker. You expect in tough games where you need a goal, that's where it's going to come from. But, like, it seemed like he could do no right no matter what he did.
Well, this happened last night. I can't remember what it was, but he did something and people had to go at him. And then he done like the opposite. Like, I think he tried to dribble with it one stage and he kind of got crowded out. And then later on, he played it off at one touch. And the same roar went up moaning at him for dribbling as it did for when he tried to drop it off at his first touch. So kind of going... just, I don't know. Look, and I'm sure people are listening to this going, oh yeah, here we go. The two lads coming on, like trying to, you know, tell us nothing is wrong and that Meepo's doing great. He hasn't been doing brilliantly. Like, that's obvious, clear for everyone to see.
I think to himself, he will also, like, speak.
Yeah, of course. Miller,
you say the exact same thing. He's not hitting his standards. He's not being the player that he wants to be, but he will get there. Like, there's...
I think my point is, though, he's not going to get there by getting stick.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm not saying that you can't give players stick. Of course you can. I'd be the first one, if a player is not rowing in and not pulling the socks up, I'd be the first one to give them stick. But I honestly, hand on heart, don't believe there's any bit of laziness around Meepo. If somebody has something to show the opposite, by all means, do send it on to me. But I don't know. We had to kind of talk about him because everyone certainly in my question box was, I was very, one or the other. It was either, look, we need to just give him loads of loving and hopefully he gets there, or those other people like coming up with mad shouts.
But I just don't get what is the point. Like, you're not going to get anywhere like abusing them. You're not going to get anywhere giving out to them. You're not going to get anywhere complaining. That's, to be honest, that's not what we do here. That's for a fan base down the road to do to people.
And, do you know, the point was also made to me over the weekend, I think it was one of my brothers that said, like, there seems to be a bit of a split in this, and it's probably not this simple, but I think there's a more weathered Shells fan, we'll call them, that, and we've said it on here a few times, that have seen real dross play for this football club, real mercenary stuff, like, if they were playing football at my back garden, I'd close the blinds type stuff. And then there seems to be a kind of, I don't know whether, I think it's a younger fan kind of thing. You know, this online outrage kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And like, it's always the way that those comments are seen more than what the kind of, I don't know, what you call it, level-headed people are saying.
Yeah, I look, dude, you know, firsthand, I'm not a great person to talk to 5-10 minutes after a game ends. Leave me on my own for 15 minutes, I'll be fine. Just let me think about the game and go over it in my head. Like, I just think maybe instead of jumping online and saying everyone is shit and this and that, maybe write it down in your notes app, and if you still feel that way in the morning, then post it.
And look, I'm wary of, like, we're not preaching to people, like, you can't be critical and all that, because that's the whole point. Like,
you can be.
You buy your season ticket, you pay in, like, you know, you have your right to say or kind of do what you want, but it's just not going to help. Like, if you are struggling with something in work and you are maybe just not having a good day, if somebody starts giving you stick and abuse over it, they're probably not going to get any better. Anyway, we're turning into slightly League of Ireland bedwetter types here, but in, I suppose, go on, sorry,
I'm just saying, like, there is absolutely room to be critical. You should be critical when it's warranted, but there's a difference between being critical and just being a bit mental with your abuse. Think if you're critical of the performance Monday, absolutely you can. It was disappointing, we dominated the game again, but we didn't convert any chances. They were difficult to break down. We couldn't break them down. There is a clear vulnerability in the squad. Like, I think it goes across the board. It's not just one or two players. It's just, I think.
Well, I seen a good example of that. You've used the word vulnerable there. It probably is the best way of kind of putting it. But there was a stage in the first half where Evan Caffrey kind of got, like, close to the byline, a real Evan Caffrey type of position. And it was so on from to just blast it across the goal, whether he kind of had a shot come cross or what he did, but he tried to cut back inside, and it was like trying to be extra safe. It's like, I'll square this to somebody just to make sure we score. Whereas I think last year, Evan just swings at that, or he does his cut inside and it comes off perfectly, and he strokes it home. It's just, again, the second half coming into stoppage time, it was just crying out for, like, a delivery to be stuck into the box. And it looked a little bit like, oh, you do it, you do it, you do it. It was like, pass the parcel. I don't want to take the chance of trying to stick this in case I don't execute it properly, and then I'm getting the stick for it. So it's just, it was a weird atmosphere, though, last night across the board, I thought. Like, it's those Monday games. Yeah. They just don't get the juices flowing, really, do they?
The fact that all the games are just packed in so tight because of the European fixtures, like, that needs to be looked at. That needs to be addressed, because it's just, like, Friday, Monday, Friday. Look, again, no excuses. Elite athletes, they should absolutely be ready for stuff like that. But it's just, it feels like the games just get thrown at you around this time.
And I find it burns the crowd out.
Absolutely, but you can see that, like, a game on telly on a Monday, like, some people wouldn't turn up for that just because they're like, ah, I'll just stay home and watch it. Like,
yeah, like, I've been in work till 6 o'clock, I couldn't be arsed, going back out.
it's one of those where you, oh, I've been to a game Friday, I've gone Monday, I've gone Friday again. Like, there can be a burnout there.
And look, all the time you're going to be critical of your own and you're going to look kind of inwards at what we did. Drogheda are fucking really good at frustrating you, killing the game. Like, I know people moaning, oh, there needs to be an investigation done into time waste, and we did enough of that last year to teams. So, like, swings and roundabout stuff. But Drogheda are really, really good at what they do. They're very, very organised. They had proper chances in the second half where they could have snatched it. So that's another element to it. Like, it's not a Drogheda of 2 years ago. You know, no. They're a honking and they're just clinging on.
They have
a skin in their teeth.
They have a spine. They have a backbone. They play with it. They, to be fair to them, they play with their chest out. They're proud of the way they play. It's effective. You've seen it the start of the season. They've had results haven't really gone their way in the last few weeks, but like, they're proud of that point. They're happy with it, and as they should be, because they work bloody hard for it. Like, it's, you see it with Dennison when he goes to take the kickouts. He keeps pointing and tapping at his wrist. Like, he's just constantly being fed information of how long he has, how long he's wasting time for. And
yeah, he's a fucking bin man.
He is, but he's an effective bin man. And in how they want to play their game and how they play their game, he's absolutely effective. You cannot say otherwise. Regardless of ability on the pitch, he's effective for what he does. Like, they kill the game because they don't let the game flow. They don't let the game play. Like, you can have that possession, but when it's constantly going out of play and it's stop, start, it's hard to get a rhythm, and that's exactly what they want from it, because they can get rhythm in little spells and they can hit you quickly, and you've seen it. They get one, they will kill the game.
And that's what they did. Look, there was that moment where Conor Cairns went down injured in the first half, and you're going, right, that's topical at the moment. That's a real, right, let's have a little regroup, everyone over to the touchline, and we'll have a little yap and see what we can fix and what we need to change. That's what I thought it was originally. Then I seen Larkin putting the gloves on and I went, geez, maybe he actually is injured. And look, obviously Larkin came in. I think the first thing he did was actually hit a clearance right off. Was it Ryan Brennan, I think, maybe?
Or Douglas James.
Ted. Yeah, it could have been, actually.
It was one of them anyway.
And I think that instantly I kind of went, oh, fucking, here we go. Just, you know, don't.
This is exactly.
We just don't need this as well now. And then he ended up being man of the match.
Well, should have been man of the match. I don't really know.
Ah, don't mind that verge of man of the match stuff.
Yeah, I don't
it's
really
not the
know
real man of the match.
What games they did we watch and have.
The real man of the match is the people's man of the match.
The people's champ, Larkin Healy, who.
Yeah.
To be fair, pulled off some unbelievable saves.
Yeah, we shouldn't make light of this either. That was Larkin's league debut for Shells, and this is his second season, obviously. I didn't mention it to him in his post-match interview that it was his league debut, but big bollocks to come on against the type of team Drogheda are, where they'll play the game, and they did it, just kept dropping balls in on his head, saying, right, let's see what this lad's made of. He done really, really well. He punched pretty much everything. I think if he starts the game and he's a bit more comfortable, he's probably catching a lot of them. But
yeah, it's just one of those when, like, you have to remember he's coming cold as well. Like, he goes up, he could land and pull something.
Exactly. Like, it was just, I was very, very happy for him.
Yeah.
Because Larkin is possibly the nicest fella in the entire football club, I would say. He's so, so sound. He's always so happy. I know, look, we've had a debate on here before about the second choice keeper or the backup keeper or whatever phrase you want to use for it. For him to come in and put in that type of performance, look so assured, it's sign of professionalism, isn't it? He just came in, did what was needed to do. No bells or whistles.
You don't want to go full Roy Keane and say he came in and did his job, but that's essentially what he did. And he did his job very well. Like, there's some big, big saves where you're like, you have probably every right to be a bit nervous, because for a lot of people, they haven't, unless you went out to Bray, you haven't seen Larkin play for Shells. But you have to remember as well, probably a seasoned keeper in the league, believe it or not, with UCD, I think it's 85 appearances thereabouts. Like, that's a lot of appearances.
It is, and it's easily, like, I would certainly be guilty of, if you sign somebody from UCD, you presume they're a child. Whereas Larkin obviously wasn't. He was, what, 22 maybe when we signed him? He had been playing regularly in the league, so it's not as if some, like, Jack McCarthy type stuff shown in. Like, he's an accomplished goalkeeper, he knows what he's doing. We shouldn't have been surprised. Surprised would be the wrong word to use, I think. But in terms of Connor, it's, I know Larkin mentioned his post match, I think it was the calf. I think he's had a problem with that before. Is it, I don't know. Obviously, time will tell whether he comes straight back in on Friday or not, but I think certainly Larkin's performance on Monday would ease the panic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's one of those where, like, right, it's not that bad. There's something there. It's not really panic stations. It's not really a red alert. I think last time Connor was injured, we had Harry Fisk maybe come in and replace him. I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And I
don't know. UCD at home, anyone?
Yeah. So I think after seeing Larkin come in and seeing what Larkin is well capable of, I think that will ease a few minds going into Friday.
Yeah. Hopefully so. Look, the question box, I mentioned it earlier on. Jordan O'Reilly, we really miss Coyler in the middle of the park. Just stick with the lads. They need us now more than ever. Kieran Crowder said, the title defence is probably over. We need to get rid of the five at the back. That's premature, I would have said.
I think that's very premature, yeah.
We're even halfway through the league.
Yeah.
I get it. That one really stinks of, you know, really in the height of it, and
That's one of those where you see it straight at the question box and you're like, I'm giving these a piece of my mind.
But you know what? I feel we're more set up to win the league from this position than we would have been from leading it from the start, like we did last year, because nobody thinks we're going to win anymore. Nobody. I'd say now, listen to all the LOI podcasts this week and they'll all probably say, oh, you know, they won't make up that amount on Rovers now and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I wouldn't be so sure. I think maybe one or two reinforcements in the summer. Obviously, get bodies back fit. I think there's an awful, awful lot more to come. Mark Sweeney said, I'd love to see Dan Ring or other young players get an opportunity. Yeah, I don't really know what the story is with Dan Ring. He's knocking goals in again, of course, for the 20s. Yeah, it's an interesting point, actually. A lot of the other stuff was about the back five, playing with a back five. I don't know, I'm probably miles off the mark with this, but when you're missing so many defenders, I don't know whether it's a thing where a manager would look at it and say, well, if we have more bodies back there, you know, there's more chance of being able to defend. I'd say I'm probably fucking miles off. I'm saying that now, it sounds absolutely stupid, but there's obviously a reason and a point to playing that way. And you don't just tear stuff up, you know, after so many league games. It doesn't work like that. You need to stick to what you believe will happen. And to be honest, I actually like that setup going forward with the kind of that box midfield, you call it. I thought, we haven't actually mentioned Ellis Chapman. I thought it was really good. He picks up some fantastic positions. And I think at the moment he's just not really getting enough of the ball. But again, it's probably just a knock on from the...
But to be fair to Ellis as well, for a big lad, he can move, because there was one stage where he got the ball at his feet. He had three players around them. He dribbled around and managed to find a lovely pass into the midfield.
Yeah, he's another one, Ellis. I think at the start he was getting a bit of stick.
But he's kind of coming into his own, finding his footing. Like, it's just, I think it's just important that we back everyone. I think Ellis is a prime example of that, where he was able to get his fitness up, and you do see kind of what he's capable of. I think just even physically, he's very imposing. Technically, really good player. And as you said, reinforcements, but like, those players coming back to the side are basically like new signings.
100%.
When they do eventually make returns, like, they are as big as new signings. But I think the manager and the staff, it's not a thing where they're not focusing on those lads that are out. They'll be great to have back when they are back, but it's just kind of just next man up, really, isn't it?
Well, there's no point. Look, we'll do it as fans. You know, you'd be, we need Boydy back, we need Paddy, we need Coyle, or whoever it might be. But as you say, the staff don't look at it that way. They're just dealing with what they have in front of them. And, like, the lads will be back when they're back. There's nothing you can do. You can try and rush them, but we're going to have European games to play. Hopefully a cup run to come. Just need to bide our time, I suppose. Sean Harris and Callum Slater both basically said we need to get more shots off. I would agree with that. We've said it to death here already.
But I think
it's just a belief thing at the minute. It's just a...
Yeah, it's that little bit of vulnerability where it's like, you don't want to be the one that gets it out of their feet and blazes it over the bar when there was a pass on where you could have maybe made that extra pass to make an extra pass. It's one of those where it's like, there's a safety in not wanting to be the one that pulls the trigger.
Totally agree. Kane Murray said he's had better weekends. There seems to be a real lack of confidence looking at the lads out there. Performances haven't been bad. We're just lacking that bit of magic that changes a draw to a win.
I think our focus now
has to change to secure in Europe, because we probably won't be retaining any league title giving Rovers that much of a point advantage.
Nah, bollocks. Don't believe that. Sorry, that sounds very aggressive.
Yeah, just don't offense, Kane. It's not... Ben's not calling you out. He's not offering you out.
No. I absolutely 100% agree with what he said. Apart from the Rovers thing, I do get that from outside. Look, a smash inside, you can't really take it away from them. A good side in really good form. But I just think it's as simple as we can only do our own job. There's no point in really looking elsewhere, and it's just each game as it comes. And look, eventually those 3 points, if they do come, when they come, they'll start to build up. And I think that's more of a takeaway. I wouldn't really be looking to let's get Europe, let's get this. I think it's just about, here, let's just get to the next game.
Yeah, but look, what are we, 9 points behind Rovers, I think it is. We've dropped 9 points in, what would that be, 5 games or something? So, like, it's easily done. It's not as if it's some insurmountable amount of points. And as I say, I like the idea of us chasing rather than trying to hold out this year. Something a bit different to freshen things up.
Like when Stone Cold was the WWF champion. He's not a great champion, great chaser, though.
Yeah, exactly. The fun is in the chase. Look, obviously, the girl saved the day on Saturday in terms of trying to pick up the mood.
I feel like we could just have that ready to go the last few weeks. They've really taken it amongst themselves, upon themselves, to do well and score the goals for us.
Yeah, and score the goals they did again.
I mean, it wasn't 7, but I'll take 6.
Yeah, like, I just... Free scoring shells teams, they just don't. It's always so alien to me. Like, seeing us racking up the amount of goals that we're racking up at the moment. Like, we scored 35 goals. It's 10 more than that alone who are top of the league. some amount, like, it, we're just, it's extremely, extremely impressive that we're consistently managing to score the amount of goals we're scoring. Like, obviously, we've had a 6-1, we beat Galway, like, fair enough, 2-1, scored 3 down in Treaty, 5 at home to Linfield, 7 at home to Cork, 7 away to Bowes, 4 away to DLR, 4 away to Waterford. That's just incredible. And obviously, going back to Saturday,
the quality of the goals, like, the quality of the goals and the quality of the play, like, it's just, it's quick, it's dynamic, like, it's everything you want to see. Like, you look at those goals, it's almost like they're playing against statues some weeks. They just, they move the ball that effectively and that well, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's a mental thing now as well, where teams are just, like, if you looked at that, the amount of goals we've scored, subconsciously you're going to be saying, all right, well, maybe we'll just try and keep the score down a little bit, and then you'll naturally start dropping off. Obviously, look at Lone have been so consistent as well. How we've scored that amount of goals and we're not top of the league, but on the other side of it, Ben, our biggest gripe we've had with the Women's Premier Division in the last couple of weeks was the lack of pearl goals.
Well.
Back on the score sheet after a dry spell of 3.
She's just giving everyone else a chance. That's all it was. Just everyone else can have a chance. Because I'm expecting a hat-trick at some point. I want to get a hat-trick of headers from set pieces.
One of the big things I think to come from Saturday is the spread of goals as well. That's always good. Obviously, look, McKenzie, with the way she's been going, didn't net on Saturday, but the goals coming from elsewhere. So I think it's important that you're not just relying on one person or two people all the time. So the spread of goals has been great.
But the time of the goals as well, when you look at them, like the weekend, I think there was one around 10, one around 15. Then you get later on in the game, I think the goals are very close together. It's around, I think it's 80, 85, 88. It's around those timings. Like, they're just, it's one after another. It's like buses, they all start coming at the same time, don't they?
Yeah. But we've said this every week about the timing of those goals. Even so going important. Away to Wexford, who, like, Wexford are sitting in third. It's not like we went and hopped off the team that are bottom of the league. And I think scoring early on like that just is going to completely knock a team.
Yeah.
So they just keep marching on. Keep moving on, keep rolling on. The back in action Saturday, of course. Unfortunately, it isn't Daly Mount. It's in the All Ireland Cup. So, yeah, unfortunately, it's another trip to Daly Mount on the cards. But nevertheless, the support is much deserved. It's a 3:00 kickoff on Saturday. Keep an eye online for tickets. I'm not too sure because it is an All Ireland Cup game. Whether you can just grab them at the gate or whether you need to get them in advance, I'm not sure. If I try to give you an answer, I'd be lying. So do just keep an eye out on the socials. That's the best way to find out all the details. There is a bus running to Cork. Obviously, Cork away is the 30th of May. So we play Sligo this coming Friday. Following Friday, we are down in the small town in Munster. If you do want to travel on the club bus, you can text the WhatsApp John Brennan. It's 087-661-0927. Bus going to leave Talca at 3 o'clock. So get on to John to book your place. He'll talk you through all the finances you need to talk through. Sligo, Ben, this coming Friday at home. Are we in absolutely must-win territory yet?
Yeah, every game is must-win. I feel, and if you just, I think the lads will go into every game thinking that. Would you not agree?
Absolutely. Who do you want to see play, Ben? Is there anyone you feel needs to play? I straight away would say John O'Sullivan. I think he's been great. I think he played well in Daly Mount. He was really good when he came on.
I think Jonathan
on Monday, and I think any time he's come off the bench this year, he's looked really, really lively. So I wouldn't mind seeing John get a start.
I like seeing John Martin up front with Meepo. I like seeing the two play off each other. I think that would be, I think Harry Ward as well for me. Probably one of our, like when people say how good Kerr has been, I think Harry for most weeks has been good as well. I think he's been a really, really good, I don't want to say signing this season because he's not really a new signing, but you see the best of Harry Ward this season. So I think he's, but a lot of the good that you see comes from him. So I think I'd like to see H obviously keep his place in the team.
It's a kind of a, not an anger, but when he's on the pitch, he's a lot more aggressive looking or something, Harry. I don't know whether that's...
It's just like, it seems like a switch just turns in his head where he'll just charges people down, no problem.
Yeah, because he's the nicest, most carefree man off the pitch. And then he just, something seems to have just clicked with him. I think he mentioned he hasn't had a jelly in how long was it? Some outrageous amount of time. Like he's really, feels like Harry's turned a bit of a corner. He mentioned it himself on here with us, I suppose, that like he didn't feel like he was maybe...
He wasn't at his best. He wasn't fully fit coming back. So I think he just went out of his way to prove that here I'm still the player that you saw the first time. And in fact, I'm actually better than that. So you're going to see it.
Is it a fatigue thing with him, do you think, that he comes off? Because there's been a few games this year where he's been really good and really lively and then he seems to come off. I don't know whether it's just because again, similar to Meepo, he does an awful lot of donkey running.
Yeah, I don't know if it is a fatigue thing or if it's just, to be fair, a lot of the time he does come off, he'll come off for Ali, who's been really good when he does come on. So I don't actually know what it is. Maybe it is a tactical thing. Like when Ali does come on, he's been very lively in games. I've said it here, and so have you. Ali's been, again, another standout for me.
He has been. Look, we're not going to try to predict 11s. Massive waste of time. We don't know who's fit and who's not. So
anytime we predict stuff, it never goes well.
Ben, we need a Richie Rankins. So there was an obvious candidate for the Richie Winter this week.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it to Rob Harvey just because it's low-hanging fruit, I feel.
It's just expected, so what's the point?
So I will give my Richie Winter to the Sligo Rovers admin.
Okay.
For they had a tweet up about Everton and Goodison Park, basically. And I actually have it here, a screenshot of it. And the wording of it really bothered me. Hang on now. Riveting podcasting here, I know, but bear with me for a second. Here we go. Everyone at Sligo Rovers extends our congratulations to Everton on their victory in their final match at Goodison Park. With Seamus Coleman captaining the side, it marks another proud moment in our shared history. They signed a player from them. So do we have like a shared history with Livingston? Because that's where Wezza went. Do we have a shared history with Lincoln? Because that's where Jack Moylan went. Oh, I know Seamus Coleman's been great service serving to Everton, but I don't give a rat's.
You know what? The funny thing is, I also had an issue with a Sligo thing, but it was a different Sligo thing. And it was just their congratulations for Johnny Kenny for...
What is that about?
Like, I was like, what do you mean? Like,
what?
Yeah, okay. That's a bit like, I was just like, why?
It's just very strange. I don't know what it is. They've had a few whoppers this year, actually, haven't they? Nick T is a goalkeeper sign and everyone thought it was going to be Ed McGinty and it turned out to be the academy keeper or something.
They've dropped a few clangers. I just saw the Johnny Kenny one. I was like, you're wishing him well for scoring a goal and winning the league. Right. That's not really done anywhere else. Like, player goals, they're kind of in the memory, I believe. As Duty would say, they're dust.
Dust, yeah. Speaking of dust, very nice to see Jack Moylan in Talca on on Monday. I'm joking. We all love Jack Moylan. But like, this would be my point. I love Jack. You love Jack. Darren loves Jack. Reggie loves Jack. But they're not tweeting it off the official club account. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Bothered me. It bothered me when it shouldn't have. Now, can I remember who my Richie Winter was? You give me your Richie Winter, man.
See, I'm going to pick Sligo as well. Genuinely, that's really
good. You're going to put the boot in.
I mean, there is another obvious one. Speaking of admins and social stuff, with a league page, but I'm not going to go there.
Actually, you know what? Can I just say, there's an awful lot of sad bastards following this league.
Right, and go on.
I know that won't come as a shock to anyone, but the obsession with Damien Duff is just off the charts. It's completely off the charts. Singing about Duffer being in people's head might be the most accurate thing in the history of the world. Because people losing their mind. Oh, he tried to make it all about him by standing where he stood. What are you on about, you Wallies? Honest to God. Bizarre stuff.
Yeah, I just thought it was a little bit.
Like, the option is he goes over and sits in the Jody and just gets abused for the whole game. So what's the fucking point in that? Like, it's bizarre. I don't know. And it's not just balls, I will say. It's league-wide. Like, the amount of people, when they're not playing us, that are talking about the manager is just incredible.
I just think the biggest issue for me, grand. Like, if you want to be a meme page and make memes out of it, that's grand, to be fair. Go and do it. But I just think it's a bad look coming from the official league page.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair.
Like, the Premier League isn't going to post a photo of Guardiola crouched behind a wheelie bin. Like, I just think the league, on the up, professional outfit, shouldn't be, I don't know. But the reaction to it online then, like, I've seen that photo more this week than anything else within the league.
But, like, the bit I don't understand, right? I've seen loads of stuff, like, it proper made its way viral. Like, there was Chelsea fans and Blackburn people and everything tweeting it, which is grand. Like, just great novelty in that, I'm sure. Like, geez, look at this, bleeding Duffer, he's such a good player, and now he's bleeding, like, managing in the League of Ireland, and he's fucking up in the hedges because he was suspended. Like, yeah, great on that part, but the League of Ireland outrage over it is just, I cannot wrap my head around it. I really can't. It's just so strange. So, so strange. The obsession everyone has with him.
It's gone to a stage now where anything he'll do, it'll just be picked up and it'll just be a negative light no matter what.
But, and this whole thing around the manager really taught me that really people don't have a clue about what's actually going on. Like, every time I see this whole thing of, he's trying to make it all about him, he's doing a Jose on it, trying to take all the attention. That's just wrong. It's just incorrect. Like, we don't have many dealings with the man, Ben, but I could safely say the last thing he wants is to be front and centre in anything media related. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Get a life, you fucking losers.
Sorry for starting you off on that. I was actually just going to leave it, but yeah.
My Richie Baker. Who could I give that to?
I have one if you want me to go.
You go on, go on.
I'm going to give it to whoever did the commentary for the Wexford game. It was... he was just full of praise for everything. Yeah, he didn't say it. And anytime we go in, he's like, oh my God, what a goal. It's just amazing. Every time I'm you're like, wow, that's a great goal. You just wouldn't hear that in the build up. The ball hit the net and be like, wow, that's a great goal. It just made me laugh.
Yes, look, we'll take it, I suppose. We'll take whatever praise we can get. Richie Baker for the week. Who's been sound this week?
Richie, to be fair, has another shout of being a Richie Baker, but.
He did Richie, like Richie Baker, Richie Baker, or.
No, no, Richie.
Richie.
Richie that fixes all our problems, Richie.
Has Richie. I know Richie always does good things, but has he done anything particular this week?
Oh, he did fix the net just as we were coming out.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. He did. I start shouting at one stage because the manager was late getting across the pitch and we were kind of waiting on him to get off, to kick the game off. And then I seen Richie running back across the pitch. I was going, what is he doing? Get off the bleeding pitch, Richie. The game's about to start. But it turned out he was going to fix the net. I have a Richie Baker. I do have a Richie Baker. It's Gary Brown. I went to watch his play/one-man show on Saturday night. Myself, the brothers, and the father went. Ollie, One Love, One Life. It was really, really good. I didn't really know what to expect from it. But Gary Cook was brilliant. He got the character of Ollie really well, I felt. The slip of words and the misuse of words was, some of it just cracked me up. There seemed to be a good contingent at it as well. I've seen an awful lot of Instagram stories and stuff of people there. And yeah, it was pretty emotional. And anyone who was at it will know what I mean by the emotional finish to it. It was really, really good. We had Gary on, obviously, here a few weeks ago, telling some great Ollie stuff. So yeah, I'm going with Gary Brown. Great show on Saturday.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
And that's us, I think. I do believe that is us. See you on Friday, Ben. I'm losing the seat. The week's all thrown off now because of this nonsense of playing on Mondays. Does me head in. But we've somehow, after all the worry of, this is going to be a grim old pod now on Tuesday, we've gone over the hour mark somehow. So I am going to shut up talking absolute shite. Ben, I will see you on Friday.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.